Hold on to your butts. It's Big News Wednesday. Yes, it is in fact Big News Wednesday with JR Jackson. JR, welcome to the program. How's it going?
Is it only my ears that literally can't take earbuds because it sucks?
There are a lot of earbuds that I've tried over the years and have found it to be uncomfortable. As much as I hate to say it, regular old AirPods, they just sort of lay there. They eventually get uncomfortable, but I can go several hours.
Ugh, they suck. Yeah. But anyway,
clearly we're not sponsored by Apple. Anyway, but rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, everybody. Anyway, JR, we're glad to have you here. Today's Big News Wednesday, or this week I'm calling it Big Scandals Wednesday. Because there's scandals dropping about a bunch of different people, mostly on the Republican side. But we have a story about the Democrats that I think is mildly scandalous too, that we're going to dive into. So it's very good to have you here today.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's going to be fun. Well,
I think it will be. And for all of you watching at home, don't worry. We're going to be grappling with one of the weirdest scandals in a while in just a bit. We're going to be talking about Lauren Boebert. But we also have Herschel Walker news. We have some last night's primaries have resulted in a likely Secretary of State that could end up being an absolute disaster. Like, arguably the most important story we'll cover today is the results of a Republican primary election that nobody is really paying attention to. So we will be paying attention in just a little bit. We got tons of other stuff we're going to be doing. Meanwhile, we're going to be talking about racism against old white writers. We're going to be talking about the rise of Skynet. So that's if you're watching the full show. So you should definitely do that. And if you want to hit the like button and share the stream so people know we're live and get notifications, that would be great. And you can send us comments, tweets, super chats, all that as we go, and we'll respond along the way. With all that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
I think I'm ready. That's what I'm told.
I think I'm ready too. Okay, let's get ready here. Lauren Boebert has finally responded to yesterday's escort and abortion scandal story, strongly denying that there's any truth to it, tweeting, "Fact check, not true. Fake news for Pinocchios. Also, y'all need Jesus." But we will a little bit later on the show be getting into her relationship with or understanding of Jesus and his message. But she's saying it's not true. And her spokesperson responded to a request for comment from Newsweek saying that the claims are totally false and that the Congresswoman is consulting her attorneys on next steps, which, if these allegations are false, yeah, she can and should sue people over it. But we gotta let you know what the allegations are. It's weird. It's not the sort of stuff that we normally talk about in the show. But according to this American Muckrakers Pack, they put out this thing yesterday alleging that she had been a unlicensed paid escort with sugardaddymeat.com, that she had had two abortions. I believe that they say that one came about as a result of the unlicensed escort work. They've got other details there too, but they say, according to our investigation, Boebert was hired by a wealthy male client in Aspen, Colorado, who was a Koch family member. Boebert's rich client subsequently introduced her to US Senator Ted Cruz to run for political office. And so, look, JR, there is a lot here, obviously. There's the escort stuff. There's the allegations of abortions, which we're gonna get into. She's, you know, very anti-abortion in her political life at the very least. And then there's also this angle with Ted Cruz where we'll get into the money and everything. Before we get into more of the specific allegations, though, I will say that this sort of story makes me very uncomfortable, because this group, the American Muckrakers Pack, you know, they had their revelations about Madison Cawthorn, and apparently everything that they put out was based in fact. I mean, none of it was really disputed. Some of the interpretations might have been disputed, but not the fact of what they revealed. And so some of us might say, well, now they have the stuff about Boebert, they've been proven to be accurate in the past, so maybe we should believe them. But then on the other hand, I believe, well, they also got a ton of cred and PR, like publicity, off of the Madison Cawthorn stuff. So, you know, maybe they're chasing that and they want another big scoop. And so are they necessarily going to vet their sources on this information as much as we might hope? I don't know. We don't have that much of a record with this group. So what do you think about this entire thing?
I feel like you're taking the words like right out of my mouth, bro. It's the first thing I was gonna say is like, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I get it, I understand the implications behind it. And if some people who think, say these things would have been true, why is this such a deal? It shows the absolute and utter hypocrisy and fakeness behind everything that she says that she stands for, because there isn't anything behind that. It's just a matter of gaining power, influence, and money, as we've seen also some of these other instances of what it is. We always ask people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and this grouping of Republicans that are in the Congress now, what is it that they do? Every time we keep hearing about them, we're like, what work are they doing? No, yeah, they weren't qualified to do any work. They don't have the capacity to do any of this kind of work. So again, we don't know the level of accuracy to these allegations and stories that are coming out. But as we continue on down this, I don't want to just believe this group either. But it would seem that it would add up to the fact that there's not much behind anything else that she does, except for being appointed here or asked or paid, whatever, to come into this position and to kind of disrupt. Mm-hmm. And it's working, I guess, because look, she's disrupting.
Yeah. Yeah, she is very much disrupting. So yeah, and as you alluded to, it should be the most obvious thing in the world. I don't think that we need to make this clarification. There's nothing inherently wrong or anything like that in being an escort. I mean, granted, if the law is that you're supposed to be licensed, then you should be licensed, I suppose. But that's not, sex work is work. We say that all the time, whether we agree with the person on politics or not. And we believe that she should have every, you know, right to whatever reproductive choices that she wants. As JR alluded to, though, the issue is that she doesn't hold any of those positions that I just expressed. She doesn't believe that people, if you believe these allegations, that anyone other than her should have access to reproductive services. What do you think that she would say about escorts if she were asked in a debate stage? I mean, honestly, so and again, all of this might well be untrue. And I would even lean towards probably untrue. I mean, they've come out with photos and stuff like that, but those could be, they could be from something else. I mean, I don't want to say for sure until we know for sure. The issue mainly is the hypocrisy, but then also, you know, why she was picked, because it has always seemed like a weird choice that all of a sudden someone who just owned a random restaurant that had no political experience, isn't a great political communicator. I mean, I guess from the right wing point of view, she says the right bombastic stuff, but then all of a sudden she just is the candidate. That always seemed a little bit weird. I will also say, she came out and said, this isn't true. Whereas a couple of days ago, when AOC was asking, have you ever asked for a presidential pardon? She refuses to say whether she did or not. And she has responded to it, she just hasn't said. So maybe that leads us to think, well, then this definitely isn't true if she's denying it. Or it could be that there is legal liability tied up with a public declaration that she didn't ask for a pardon, whereas she has to deny this because if it's accepted, it could be the end of her political career. I don't know. What I will say, though, is, if she is thinking about suing, she better think long and hard about whether it's true or not. Because if it is true and she sues them, is it possible that the records of those the Planned Parenthood, where one of the two alleged abortions happened, could be delved into? If Sugar Daddy Meat has records, which I imagine it does, is it possible that they could find something there? Are we sure that there's no paper trail to any of this? Maybe not. I mean, some of it seems, you know, like borderline illegal. So maybe they weren't keeping accurate records, but I would be worried about, like, if she doesn't sue, that maybe sends kind of a signal that she doesn't want this to go to court where a lot of stuff could come out. But again, this is all just interpretation. This is all.
There are a lot of, I guess, so there are a lot of, I guess, barking without much of a bite sometimes when it comes to people saying, I'm gonna sue. Like, I get it, but I hadn't thought about that angle, the information that has to come out if she does file these lawsuits, because it has to be adjudicated, right? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see. And I want to get into more of the details. I will just say, you know who is having a lot of fun with this? Anna Kasparian. I'm looking at her Twitter. You know what? And Anna's one of my favorite people. I want her to have joy in her life. And so, like, she is living her best life today. Go to her Twitter account. She is not messing around.
Wow.
I'll just say that. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into another angle on this. With the Lauren Boebert allegations coming out, Ted Cruz has been a pretty big source of conversation. Why is he so weirdly tied with Lauren Boebert, and was very early on? There's no reason to believe he would have known her based on her Shooter's grill before she became the nominee, but he has been close to her, tweeting out photos like this about her drill baby drill at the State of the Union and stuff like that. He's traveled with her back in 2020. He was traveling with her. This is before she was ever elected to office. Bear in mind, she's not a representative, or was a candidate from his state. They're totally different states, totally different places. Now, it's not impossible that you could campaign for someone outside. Like Bernie Sanders will go and he'll campaign with Jessica Cisneros. So that's possible. But the issue is that there are part of the allegations about the escort thing is that she was introduced to Ted Cruz. And so, you know, the mind starts to whirl. All of these are allegations. Nothing has been proven. But what apparently is true is that Boebert got $136,250 from Ted Cruz for her campaign back in 2019. She also failed to disclose a $70,500 donation noted in Cruz's Federal Election Commission's filing. So that's a lot of money that Ted Cruz is sending to a never elected, you know, candidate in a different state. Again, it's not impossible that that could be legitimate, but you know, people are speculating about the theory. If we believe these allegations, then is it inconceivable that she has information about him or whatever? All of this is getting into what I consider the area of politics that I hate, because it's pure speculation. It feels dirty to even speculate, but there is some weird behavior that we have to try to understand.
Yeah, that's the thing. All these guys have probably some form of level of skeletons in their closet, things that they've done, would do, have paid, been paid for. And this is where it's hard. If you then dive into all of that and go to discover it, man, we'll spend months. Look, it's been a year just on January 6th, and that's a huge event that actually does encompass a lot of politicians and a lot of pundits and people that were probably involved and wanted to see that happen and go down the way that it did. And that's taken a year. And then look how many people actually are trying to push back and say the reality isn't what it is. So when it comes to uncovering things or looking into Ted Cruz's potential background with Lauren Boebert and what he knew and why he supported her and maybe dirt, man, it all kind of makes sense. But then again, after you go through just 5 minutes of thinking about it, you may go, "Ugh, but this is what sucks. They make us not want to have to go through all this." But look, they're horrible people that are changing and affecting people's lives, when really what they're trying to do is protect themselves, gain more power and money. And then that's the exchange we have to go with. So it's we find ourselves in this tough position of, should we continue to look at this, or should we continue to talk about this, when in reality that would take forever to actually get to the end of.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And like, so my mind instantly starts to try to come up with other explanations. So it could be, okay, Ted Cruz is a guy who's a senator, you know, so he's influential in the Republican Party, but everybody hates him. So maybe he just desperately needs up and coming figures in the party to like him. So, you know, go around and find those people that you think are going to be the next big thing and campaign with them when they could, but like maybe, you know, they're as turned off by being around Ted Cruz as anyone else, but they need the boost and they need the money, certainly. So attach yourself to the new blood, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with, you know, escorts or pregnancies or anything like that. That's possible, certainly. Ted Cruz is an overall skeezy guy, but what direction does the skeez go in? I don't know.
We need a skeez meter.
Exactly. Does the skis head towards Cancun? Does it head towards the Coke thing? I don't know. I would love to find out, because let's speculate for a moment. All of this is true and is proven to be true. Let's say that we get evidence and it's all true. The only illegal part is the unlicensed thing. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think that that would be a significant problem for her. So now let's grapple first with Boebert, then with Ted Cruz, because we're on Ted Cruz right now. If this is proven, how much does it matter? This is potentially, I think this is a bigger deal conceivably than the Madison Cawthorn stuff. But the Republican Party likes her a lot more than they liked Madison Cawthorn. So let's say it's proven to be true, maybe even before her primary, which is coming up. JR, what happens to Lauren Boebert?
This is the thing. So far, maybe there's a couple other exceptions as well. Donald Trump appears to be the only guy who can have these types of things openly and explicitly exposed about him. And he still goes on to keep his support and maybe even gain some because people are thinking, oh yeah, I totally want to back that guy. Locker room talk. I mean, everyone thought that was the takedown. So it depends on the level of political strength she has within the party. As you mentioned, Madison Cawthorn apparently had none of that. So whether or not there's enough people that will circle the wagons, make enough excuses for her, put their face and voice behind interviews and comments and statements to reporters about this and in her favor, maybe, but that would cause the, that would maybe take away some of their clout or at least maybe some of their political power. Expend some of that for her. Maybe, I don't know if she's having much of a challenge, especially if there's nobody there in this particular district that doesn't do much as far as challenging her. They'll think it's okay. We have enough idiots in this district. They'll vote for her anyway.
Yeah, maybe. And again, first of all, like very few Republicans, I think, actually care about this stuff the way that they do opportunistically. Like if it was a Democrat, they'll pretend to care about it or whatever. Maybe there's some super hardcore evangelicals or whatever that do, but they didn't care about it for Trump. So they don't necessarily have to care about it for her. The stuff with Madison Cawthorn, which all so much of it was just like implication. The only reason that they are likely to care is because the idea was that, oh God, he's part of the LGBTQ community or something like that. If it was just photos of him draped across young women or something, I don't think that he would have been driven out of office. So yeah. I don't know. Now for Ted Cruz, they don't like Ted Cruz. So could this be used by the Republican Party to get a primary contender against him next time around? I think that there would be a lot of Republicans who would be perfectly happy with that. Like, imagine if this takes down Ted Cruz, but not Lauren Boebert. What a weird country we live in. But it's possible. It's possible.
Yep. Gotta have friends.
Okay. Let's dive into. I want to make sure that people understand that this is not the only thing going on. So Lauren Boebert is facing these allegations of being an unlicensed escort and the multiple abortions and all that. Which, as we've said, as progressives, like we don't have a problem with either of that. I think escort, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, and you should be able to get abortions. And in Colorado right now, you can. Unfortunately, thanks to people like Representative Lauren Boebert, maybe not for long. So that's really the issue with the abortion thing, is the hypocrisy. Like, she is alleged to have had two, one at Planned Parenthood. In 2021, she pushed a bill to block all funding to Planned Parenthood, as well as other health centers providing abortions. That same year, she told Planned Parenthood to go fund yourself. And she prides herself in supporting overturning Roe v. Wade and restoring the sanctity of life to the law. Now, maybe all of this is totally consistent. Maybe the allegations are untrue. And she actually thinks that women deserve no rights, or you know, people who can get pregnant should deserve no rights. That's possible. Plenty of Republicans are actually authentically horrible. She tweeted, "Planned Parenthood is not healthcare. It's a blood-stained money-making machine that prioritizes abortion over care." It is possible, but I understand we're gonna focus on this scandal. It's so big and all that. It's seemingly perfectly designed to draw attention. But I also wanna make sure that people understand that it's not like Lauren Boebert was scandal free before this. Like, there are claims that she paid for restaurant rent and her taxes with donor money, and that she threatened her employees that if they protested about not being paid the money she allegedly owed them, she threatened them over that. Back just a week ago, the New York Times reported that Colorado officials are examining allegations that she inflated the mileage she logged on the campaign trail back in 2020 and used more than $20,000 in reimbursements from donors to pay off tax liens on a restaurant. She alleged to have driven like tens of thousands of miles or something crazy like that with no campaign events. So that doesn't make any sense. She's been accused recently of covering up a serious injury causing accident days before a primary, where she bailed out after her sister-in-law and son got injured because she drove an ATV into a rock face, and the ex-employees are saying that she refused to pay them while splurging on things. Some of this is like weirdly shamey and I don't like, but a lot of employees have had a problem with her. There have been some employees that have come out and said that she was a good boss or whatever, but plenty have complained that they were paid in cash out of the register or from Boebert's wallet without any taxes deducted, which is, that's illegal. You can't do that. And so a lot say that she was mostly checked out on the restaurant until she started drawing some press to it with her campaign, so she'd come in for the filming. That's all just bad boss stuff. There are plenty of bad bosses to go around, but there are a lot of scandals. It's feeling a bit like Madison Cawthorn, JR.
This is the thing. There's always a question I've had. What is it that draws people to become politicians? And I'm sure there's multiple answers to that, but for the ones that end up being corrupt, who have it end up having a bunch of scandals in their closet and that don't want anyone to ever find out about. Maybe a lot of times it's to get a little bit of a respite from it, thinking they can not be above the law. They've created enough of a name and power structure for themselves that if anyone touches Lauren Boebert, if she's been in Congress, you know, for 4 or 5 terms, then that becomes like her standard and she can escape or skate from her previous potential crimes, right? I mean, it worked out for Donald Trump. All these folks, they follow that blueprint. We saw it when he even said he's complaining about his election loss. What do we start seeing? Everybody that's running for any kind of election that's a Republican that has the potential to lose, oh my God, election fraud, election fraud, election fraud. In this case, if she has all the stuff in her background, which it seems that she does, at least when it comes to her businesses and her practices around financial processes with her businesses, maybe this is her approach. She's like, oh, great. Hey, Ted, I'm going to get into politics and maybe I can run away from all this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's as simple as that.
Maybe. Anyway, look, my bigger issue with her is less about the scandals. I mean, that's part of it. It's like this is not what the solution of our problems as a society is, to just take people and just okay, we're gonna have primary elections. We're just gonna choose the person who says the most awful stuff. We're gonna do impurity tests, basically find the most messed up, horrible person. Doesn't have to have any experience whatsoever. Lauren Boebert didn't know a damn thing about politics and she hasn't learned anything since she ran, but she was awful, very enthusiastically, vocally awful. And so then we choose her. That is a big issue for America, I believe.
That's the new standard for running for office. Yep.
Yeah, 100%. Like we don't need more of this. And God only knows now, like who decides to run for office now that they've seen, oh, it's Boebert's and it's Cawthorn's and it's Green's. That's what politics is, and it works. You can get in. Like there's no version of that where just being vocally progressive just gets you a position or whatever. There's no version on the left. On the right, just being horrible will. You don't have to have worked your way up through the system or whatever, be knowledgeable or anything like that. Anyway, with that said, I want to move to just one random thing that just bothered me. Can we jump into this video?
On Twitter, a lot of the little Twitter trolls, they like to say, oh, Jesus didn't need an AR-15. How many AR-15s do you think Jesus would have had? Well, he didn't have enough to keep his government from killing him. So.
Second biggest issue with that is that she thought that that was gonna be a killer line. And the audience was like, I'm gonna say confused, perhaps uncomfortable. People have pointed out a great point that you like profess to follow the divine word of Jesus and he's supposed to be your personal savior, the model for your life. And no, he would not have been running around with guns and posing photos of guns. These are great points that the Twitter trolls are pointing out. Also, I love that she's criticizing Twitter trolls when she's literally, even when not on Twitter, she's just a Twitter troll. That's all she is in real life. That's why she's elected and she knows that that's her appeal. The bigger issue though, JR, is the scriptural issue. And granted, I'm a big old atheist and everything, but even I get that. I don't think that's the lesson of the death of Jesus Christ, JR. I don't know. Were you a church going man?
I feel like he wouldn't
have gunned down everyone to save his life.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there, so maybe a little rusty. But the entire basis of Christianity, like, you know, this version of what happened with Jesus, the reasons why you celebrate Easter actually should be the biggest holiday of the Christian faith, because it's the reason why we even have a chance at life. You know, we're down here on this earth and we all just suck. And the thing is the only way to get to that divine divinity and sit next to Jesus is to believe in his sacrifice. That was the sacrifice in giving his life. And when he was killed by the state and he lost his AR-15 and wasn't able to murder everyone in his wake, he sacrificed himself for us. Did you get that part when you're going to church, Lauren? Again, maybe I'm a little rusty on this, but that's the whole basis for it, is we accept that because he did it for us. That's why we love him so much, because he loved us, right? Right, but she doesn't have that. All she has is jokes about how AR-15 is actually the thing that you worship and not Jesus.
100%, and that is more authentically, that is her religion, honestly. I get that the Bible is long or whatever. I've never read the entire Bible, and apparently I have that in common with Lauren Boebert. I also don't profess to be a good Christian that has some sort of natural state of moral superiority over the entire world, which she definitely thinks that she has, seemingly having missed, like, at least for modern Christians, it's not just that she missed a point about Christianity. The thing about his sacrifice, isn't that the single most important part of all of Christianity? And she doesn't get it. And like, and she doesn't know the scripture. Like a lot of people pointed out this from Luke, when Jesus's followers saw what was going to happen when he was gonna be arrested. They said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. He literally didn't want them to use their weapons. That seems pretty obvious. He was the turn the other cheek guy, you dunce. How do you not get this? He wasn't a fan of violence. And more importantly, like she thinks she's making this amazing point that he should have had more weapons so he could defend himself from his government. What she doesn't seem to realize is that the scenario that she's sketching out is a religious fundamentalist government that is going around and persecuting social justice warriors. That is what actually happened with Jesus. How are you not getting this? You don't get the Christianity, you don't get the history. What part of this do you actually understand?
The parts she can use to gain power and money.
Yeah, if not draw much laughter.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, Lauren Boebert is not the only Republican facing a scandal. Herschel Walker, who has been identified by Dr. Rashad Ritchie as a dumbass, is proving to be quite one. Okay, we're gonna give you the latest after this. So much headphone talk out there. Okay, with that said, let's move to the second big scandal of the at least three we've got today, starting with this video.
You have a child with a woman. And even if you have to leave that woman, you don't leave the child.
Right, right.
You let that child know, you try to work it out, you're gonna be respectful to her, and you're gonna be respectful to other things, you show that to your child.
So that is Herschel Walker saying what many Republicans will say, no matter what, you have to maintain a relationship with your child. You have to teach them, provide an example for them, show respect to the mom, show respect to other things. He couldn't think of a second example, but whatever. And he's been consistent on that for literally years. He's been talking about the need for there to be better fathers. He said at one point back in 2020, "I want to apologize to the African-American community because the fatherless home is a major, major problem." He added that he had been like a father to some of the kids that had never had fathers. So I don't understand the apology part of that. The apology is that he's criticizing the community and then saying he's such a good dad that he's dad for even people he's not the dad of, I guess. Back in 2017, he talked about how good of a relationship he has with his son Christian, saying if you got a child, hug your child every day, which is a message that I love. In a presidential fitness panel appearance 1 year later, he said that while parental involvement is very, very important, so was adults getting involved with kids, because some kid do not have a parent, a mother, or a father. So definitely be a good parent to your kids. In fact, to be parents to other kids too. Not if you're a teacher though, that's super sus these days. He wouldn't like that. So have you guessed where this is going? To hypocrisy, of course, it has to. He's a Republican. According to reporting by the Daily Beast, what he hasn't publicly acknowledged is that he has a second son who has apparently been estranged from him since his birth a decade ago. He grew up 1500 miles away. Most importantly though, the mother, whose name is being hidden for privacy reasons, which seems eminently reasonable, had to take Walker to court a year after giving birth in order to secure a declaration of paternity and child support. They've confirmed these events through public posts, a court document where Walker is declared to be the child's father, and a person close to the boy's family with direct knowledge of the event. So they say that while Walker sends Christmas and birthday presents, he otherwise has not played an active parental role in raising his second son. The child has also not met or spoken with his half brother Christian. And so look, families are complicated, and I don't believe that we should necessarily judge other people's families. I don't really feel comfortable judging my own family. The whole thing's a big mess. But I also don't necessarily go around moralizing about the failures, not just of individual people, but like the entire African American community, while I'm not practicing what I almost literally preach. I don't know, JR, what do you think?
Weird how that works. You can say a bunch of things, act like you're holier than thou, and then when people discover, which isn't that hard to do apparently, that you're not living the life that you're lecturing everyone else about, it might take away from this moralizing approach and speech that you have. Again, we talked before about Lauren Boebert and how the reasons behind the issues with her is her principles, and then what it is in her reasons for her decisions later once she's in office. So again, Herschel Walker's running for office. Even if he's not, I don't think anyone should really care about his other kid. And we actually probably wouldn't even be talking about it until he starts wagging his finger at other folks and be like, you know what? You guys aren't more like the Republican Party. And it's the Republican Party who likes to say that Democrats are always trying to lecture you and tell you how to be a better person when actually they're no longer any of that. In many cases, I see a lot of libs and Dems talking about ways that we let people live. And if you have some kind of issue, if your kid's being hurt or something, yeah, go to court. Those are processes that we go through to make sure that you do things the right way. When it comes to judging people and we haven't been in their shoes, we haven't seen what they're up to, that's a Republican thing, 101. When it comes to harming others, that's when you've got a lot of libs talking about, hey, maybe we should keep you from hurting others. In reality, what they want to do is just tell you how to be and what's basically comfortable for them, that they absolutely have no intention of following themselves. It goes from women's rights to economic issues, who gets tax breaks, all those types of things only goes to the right folks that are associated with them. Everyone else can just, you know, kick rocks.
Yeah. Before we get to speculation about what effect this might have, we do have to acknowledge that aides to Herschel Walker declined to comment just yesterday, but they did write a written statement from his campaign manager who said this, and I love this response. It's one of the classic ways to respond to a scandal like this. So he says, Herschel had a child years ago when he wasn't married. He supported the child and continues to do so. No acknowledgement of the fact that he had to be dragged to court to do that, but whatever. He's proud of his children. To suggest that Herschel is hiding the child because he hasn't used him in his political campaign is offensive and absurd. That's not what people's concern is. What are you talking about? Now that, but don't you love that? You have no defense for the thing, so you just defend against an attack that doesn't exist. Like, it's like if like your wife accuses you of cheating and you're like, for you to stand there and say that I'm developing weapons of mass destruction is despicable. How could you say that to me? No, I refuse to talk about this anymore. Go to your room. Okay, I get that that's more convenient and it might be funny in the moment, but it has nothing to do with the concern. The concern is that you're not living the life that you are using hypothetically to attack other people. It's not that you didn't put him in your campaign ads. Who the hell cares about that? It's that you had to be dragged to court to do the thing that you're telling people that other people need to do. And by the way, going along and saying that you're this amazing father to tons of people that you barely know. So that's the issue. It's the hypocrisy. It's the using it pragmatically for your own purposes when you don't actually live it as your life.
And if you're willing to use it for your own purposes, what kind of policy decisions, what kind of agenda, what kind of legislation are you willing to back up and then support by saying, well, I live this way? They always use their moral standing, which doesn't exist 99% of the time, as a bludgeon on other people to be like, we're passing this law because this is the way Americans should live, like I do. And then they stand behind it as if you can be like me when they're nowhere near the person that they're posing to be. And while they're judging other folks for actually being much better humans than they are. But again, this is the power structure. They can change people's lives based off of the lies of their own. It's disgusting.
100%. Two super quick points. One, if Raphael Warnock, it turned out, had a child out of wedlock, what would the Republicans be saying about him right now? Anyone want to speculate? It'd be disgusting, I know that. Two, that interview with Diamond and Silk was from last year. They're still going strong, I guess. Is it? I guess they're still a thing.
Well, that was last year, you said, right?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
well, I guess that's recent
they maintain
enough.
This thing for like 5 years, just that's doing true. Their thing, sitting next to each other. I don't know.
I can't imagine.
Do you think they like each other? I wonder.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if they're still making enough money though, if it's just like a, you know, a side job now.
I bet they're making money. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of conservatives.
You're right.
That like I said on one of the earlier shows, like the financial domination kink, there's a lot of conservatives that just want to be financially drained by other conservatives. So if I ever get really desperate, I'm gonna turn conservative.
It's really easy.
But no former leftist would ever try to appeal to conservatives in a shallow attempt to make money. No one would ever do that. Anyway.
Stop it, John.
Not many people that you thought you could trust would do that. Anyway, okay. So with that said, we need to move into the third potential scandal of the day. Or actually, should we take a break first? Sophie's probably freaking out. No, I think we can do it. Okay, with that, let's jump into this video.
Same label, so Republicans gotta check the ingredients. David Valadao claims he's Republican. Yet, David Valadao voted to impeach President Trump. Yeah, Valadao voted to impeach Trump. And Republican Chris Matisse, a true conservative, 100% pro-Trump and proud.
Okay, so that is an ad for Chris Mathis, a Trump conservative. And it's talking about how he's the true Trumpy conservative. And that other bozo, you don't want him. It's the normal sort of ad that you probably see in a lot of these Republican primaries. What is not normal about this is that the person, the group that put together that ad were not Republicans. They're not conservatives. Well, kind of. It's a Nancy Pelosi affiliated PAC, House Majority PAC, and so kind of conservative, but ostensibly Democrats. And they're not only making ads to promote one Republican over another, but they're promoting the crazier, Trumpier one. And that is a potential issue because they're not just doing this in one race. In Colorado, a new Democratic super PAC cut a TV ad boosting the far right election denying state rep Don Hanks in the GOP primary. That's to choose the Republican who'll go up against Senator Michael Bennet. The group is spending $1.49 million in the next few weeks in Colorado. They say that it mirrors the approach that Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro has taken in his Democratic run for governor. Facing a crowded field of potential GOP contenders, he's choosing to contrast himself against Doug Mastriano, necessarily elevating Mastriano by pretending that he's the obvious guy who's gonna win, when Mastriano is a legitimate insane person, as we've talked about. And so there are others, maybe we can get to them, but Democrats are going around and elevating the craziest candidates. Now, they would say that they're savvy like a fox, that they're gonna choose these crazies, and then the crazies will make it easier for the Democrats to win. So don't even worry about the crazies. We're gonna beat them because they're so crazy. Except that the country hates the Democrats right now, and the elections look like they're gonna be rough. And so are we sure that they won't be helping to elevate a needlessly crazier person who will actually win and might help to overthrow democracy or strip away your rights? The Democrats dabbled in this in 2016 too, if you recall. Some of them like secretly hoping and dreaming that Trump would be the candidate because he'd be so easy to beat. So they're putting not just time and attention, JR, but money into something that could potentially hurt the country quite a bit. What do you think? Do you think this strategy will work?
As you mentioned, bro, 2016, it's like we haven't learned any lessons yet. They were going constant. And even when that was happening, there's people who saw this and understand, I don't know if there's a detachment from the country and who we are and the significant number of rabid racists and bigots that run through it. As we've seen, there's an influx in just energy and anti-LGBTQ hate during Pride Month. Whenever things are brought up, there's a significant percentage of the country that riles up in negativity and violence. We saw it. We've seen it since Donald Trump rose to power, since he came down the damn escalator and started ranting about Mexicans. The first thing he said.
Yeah.
We haven't learned from the fact that there's still Americans who love that stuff. They're all about it. They eat it up. And in fact, they don't care that Donald Trump pilfered $250 million out of them since he lost his election and put it in his pocket, along with 60,000 of it towards Kimberly Guilfoyle's pocket. They don't care. It's all worth their money, their time, their energy, and in some people's cases, as we saw in the January 6th evidence, their lives. They don't care. But somehow we're still stuck in this loop of thinking, hey, let's put $1.49 million into promoting more of these crazies.
It's a lot of money.
You know, there's some percentage of it that they actually do like these guys and do want them to win. Because then you go this route, you have no agenda, you don't sell your political legislation that you want to push at all, you kowtow and bow to them. One of these groups is a Pelosi group who said we need more strong Republicans. So you juxtapose that with you putting $1.49 million into promoting more of these strong Republicans.
Yeah.
And then you lose.
Good job. We'll see. Maybe it'll be a great strategy. Maybe Michael Bennet will just trounce this crazy person. And I hope so, because they are playing with fire.
It's
and the
tough,
issue
though.
Is that they're all wealthy. They're not gonna get burned if this thing fails. It's true. Us that are gonna get burned. They're playing games with our futures, not really with their own. Okay, with that said, we do have to take our second break. When we come back though, there was a race decided last night that could have disastrous consequences for the 2024 presidential election. And not a lot of people are even acknowledging it, let alone focusing on it to the extent that it deserves to. So we're gonna dive into it after this. Last night were yet more primaries, and there's one race that you may not be focusing on, but perhaps you should. That is former Nevada State Assemblyman Jim Marchant won the Republican nomination to be Secretary of State in Nevada. Okay, so that's just the primary, right? The issue is that the guy is kind of problematic. Back in 2020, he ran for Congress, and thankfully he lost, but he's been a vocal proponent of election lies. He said on his website that his number one priority as Secretary of State would be to overhaul the fraudulent election system in Nevada. So if that doesn't send a shiver up your spine, I don't know what will. He did lose back in 2020. After that, he brought a lawsuit claiming voter fraud in his election too. That was later dismissed because it wasn't true. You just got beat. Anyway, the candidate said that he would not have certified President Joe Biden's more than 33,500 vote victory, three times the size of Georgia, by the way. That would be if he had been Secretary of State in 2020. Now, thankfully, he wasn't. By the way, he blamed his own loss on a cable, as Marjorie Greene would say, rigging the election. He told a crowd after he lost, "Your vote hasn't counted for decades. You haven't elected anybody." Well, now he's the nominee. And in Nevada, there is a very good chance he will win and become the Secretary of State. And Nevada might well be a super close race in the next presidential election, like it was last time, like it has been for some time. And now you'll have a guy who's literally in charge of elections there, who has said, who's made clear that any Republican who loses, it was fraud. It was not legitimate. And he will not certify if Republicans, in particular, if Trump loses in 2024, what happens with Nevada then? I don't know. But the election just became potentially way more problematic, way more chaotic, JR.
It's a slow burn of taking over a democracy. Just keep it real. There's multiple ways that they were planning on going about this. This was one of them. Make sure, first off, it was just to place electors. They were trying that in the immediate in 2020, but that didn't work out. It wasn't well enough. Now they have some years to go about completely revamping and placing puppet men in positions like this so that they can overturn elections that aren't based off of their perceived outcome. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But this is where it's gonna get even harder. Because as they complain about election fraud and election fraud, election fraud over and over and over again, everyone is already tired of hearing about it. Donald Trump will not shut up about it. When people are talking about anything else, he goes back to election fraud. When people are talking about January 6th, he goes back to election fraud. When people talk about his financial dealings and the investigations and everything his background has done, he goes back to election fraud. That's all he talks about. So that eventually, when they are committing election fraud, which they'll openly are saying right now, my plan is to get into office as Secretary of State in Nevada and do nothing except overturn elections in the party, in my party's favor. When people then go back, if they are successful, go back and say, you guys are breaking election rules. And this is election fraud. This is direct overturning of elections. They're gonna go, oh, so now you think elections are fraudulent? That's the plan. So then they have this disarming, what they would believe to be a disarming argument for anyone who then says, you guys are cheating. Because they're actually cheating after telling everyone else for years that someone else has been doing that.
Yeah, 100%. And so I'm already like casting my mind forward. There's a very real chance that we will be doing days, if not weeks, of coverage of what this guy will end up doing to throw the election into chaos. Like day after day, you'll be viewing it and we'll be talking about this guy. And this was one of the decisive moments along the way. We'll have forgotten. I'm not gonna remember us covering this. I'm not gonna remember, but this is how they're doing it. In election after election, there are literally hundreds of candidates, congressional candidates, county board of elections, secretary of state, that are being chosen for one reason, one reason only, that they accept the big lie as the core of conservative ideology. That's what it is. And they are prepping to steal the next election. So I apologize if we focus a lot on 2024. I know it seems like it's really like we're getting ahead of ourselves and everything, but the groundwork is being laid right now. We can already see where this thing is going, and sticking our head in the sand isn't gonna save us. Okay, with that said, heads up to the director. Do you see that we're gonna go to the F block? You see, not see that message? Just we don't have enough time. And the other story is so important that I wanna make sure that we get time for it. So let's go to the F block. Just graphics, super simple. Okay. Let's start this thing. prolific author James Patterson is now apologizing for comments he made about racism against white authors earlier this week, posting on Facebook, "I apologize for saying white male writers having trouble finding work is a form of racism. I absolutely do not believe that racism is practiced against white writers. Please know that I strongly support a diversity of voices being heard in literature and Hollywood everywhere." And this comes after days of criticism. Patterson, by the way, is white, if that's not clear, and 75 years old. He's sold nearly 450 million books since 1976, from children's books and biographies to science fiction and fantasy, including these Cross books that star a black detective and psychologist. He was being interviewed by one of these when he made the comments saying that older white writers have trouble finding work, saying, "What's that all about? Can you get a job? Yes. Is it harder? Yes. It's even harder for older writers. You don't meet many 52-year-old white males," which could not be more untrue, literally all of this. But anyway, JR, it's good to see the apology if potentially under duress.
This is the thing, man. First off, I'm not sure where he got the idea from in his head that this was the case, that white writers are being shunned and reverse racism is happening. I can't believe we're going through all this. All people have to do is look. Like, I don't know, maybe he was just having some feelings. He had some assumptions. Sometimes people say things as fact and they are just, it's really their opinion. But in not knowing exactly what the situation is, which was fleshed out later, which I think led to this also apology, where are you coming from with this? What is it that he's seeing? Because the exact example he gave, a 52-year-old white man, I'm not sure why he said 52. You can go and maybe get some white guys that are around that age range, and I'm sure you'll see, I've seen it actually, people looking into this, tons and tons of white writers that are being published, that are being accepted, they're on different people's
rosters. You want the evidence? There very much is, it turns out. So his publisher, Hatchett, found that 34% of contracts with new contributors went to authors or illustrators who are black, indigenous, or people of color. That is a small minority, compared with 29% in 2020, 22% in 2019. So the numbers are becoming a little bit more even, but they're not even. Within the company, about 65% of the workforce was white as well. 78% of employees in senior manager roles were white. So the publishing industry is still dominated by white people. And then let's see, Penguin Random House, their contributors, authors, illustrators, and other creators, 75% were white, 5% Hispanic, 6% black, 7% Asian. And a lot of people have been commenting on this. Jason Pinter, the founder of Polis Books, an independent publisher, said that he had been in editorial meetings where books by black, indigenous, and other writers of color were turned down because, and he quotes, or they quoted, I guess, "We already have one." That's a thing that happens. That's the experience of people who are not necessarily like James Patterson, who haven't been writing for half a century, who haven't published 158 plus novels, who don't pull in $90 million a year in books that he writes. Although, to be fair, he apparently operates this like basically a factory where a ton of writers write books for him based on his outlines, Jesus, and all that. It's hard to say to what extent he writes any of his books these days. I don't know. I don't read them and I don't particularly care. I'm certainly not going to start now. But anyway, just not the way to address this, especially for a guy who has been so benefited by the publishing industry.
Just think about it really fast. My last thought here is when you're coming from a position of privilege, of course, things like equality will make it feel like oppression for you because you've always known the privileged life. You've been getting the benefits.
Exactly. And I get fired up because, you know, I want to be published. I'm being rejected. Come on, somebody publish me. Anyway, with that said, we've got a lot more where that came from. A huge story to get to on the other side of this. Sent in a super chat to say, WTF, why are Dems supporting Repubs? And crazy ones at that, Dems paid to lose. It certainly looks that way some of the time. Imagine if they put that money into promoting better Democrats, like yeeting Henry Cuellar into the sun and getting Jessica Cisneros in there. Like, think about what they could do if the Democrats wanted to win, this thing would be over. It would be so easy if they wanted to. So I don't know if they're paid to lose specifically, but they sure make it needlessly easy for them to lose. Okay, Early Bird says in a super chat, is this implying that Cruz and Boebert had a tart love affair and aborted their illegitimate child? Hey, I'm just asking questions. Tucker voice. Yeah. Why can't we ask questions? Why is nobody asking the question? I don't know. I do love the term tart love affair. I don't know exactly I never used that expression before. Todd G says, have been here since just after Donnie's inauguration. Thanks for keeping my hope a little higher. It's been a wild ride since then. Thank you for sticking with us. As we do every year, in fact, this is gonna be our fourth annual Juneteenth special. We're gonna be having coming up on Monday, June 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's gonna be hosted by Dr. Rashad Ritchie. We're gonna have a talented panel of hosts discussing the significance of Juneteenth, why it's so important to acknowledge the struggles as well of those who came before us in order to make our world a better place today. So it's gonna be an awesome special. You're not gonna wanna miss it. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.